Oh, this evening's verse is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So the word tells us that iron is made sharp with iron. Okay? So it is a process that begins with a standard metal file and an iron blade. The iron blade is propped up on a support, like a small wooden block, and then the metal file is drawn across the edge of that blade in a slow and measured stroke until a sharp edge is created. Next, the iron is wetted using a small amount of oil, not water, but oil, on a whetstone. So rubbing the iron blade against the oiled stone smooths away the rough edge, leaving the blade polished and sharper still. Then, in the same way that iron sharpens iron, there a heavy-duty sandpaper is cautiously smoothed along both sides of the blade. This will blend the edge with the rest of the surface, and it will make the finished product exceedingly sharp. So handle with care. Handle with care. Sharp, pointy objects do a fine job of slicing bread for a meal or slicing in the air for perhaps a sword fight, but they can also pierce our hearts and pry us open. In Hebrews 4:12, we know this, for the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So when we use our words like swords, we must follow the Spirit's leading. I cannot stress that enough. You will hear me say that over and over and over again. We probably all have people in our space that don't choose their words carefully or appropriately. And this verse means that. Some people take it as a license to jump right in and go for it and want to be the iron that sharpens your iron. And it, here is how it's supposed to go. Follow the Spirit's leading. So instead of cutting in two, open gently. Instead of rubbing the wrong way, polish. Go with the grain, polish. Instead of inflicting new wounds, it is to smooth over. That's what you're doing with that sandpaper, cautiously smoothing over the old ones. And that is how one person sharpens another. And the Hebrew word ria means not just any person, okay? Not just any person. It is to be, it's to be a friend. It's to be a companion. It's to be someone that we know well, someone that we care about and cares about us. Our goal as believers is to hone, you know, get that surface right, hone one another so that we become sharper and more effective in our faith. Those of us who love him are called to improve one another, to help improve one another. This is not a license to, like I said, attack one's character or tell one that they're doing it wrong. It's not like that. Centuries ago, Matthew Henry, he is one of the greats. I enjoy him. He says this: wise and profitable discourse sharpens men's wits, their intellect sharpens us. Still true today. Conversation one-on-one, eye-to-eye, accomplishes so much more than texting or tweeting or leaving messages or sending emails. And that has become such a popular means of communication. And it is, and we are missing some of what we actually need. We actually need that face-to-face. We actually need that face-to-face. Okay. Our faces talk too. Eyebrows raise, okay, with surprise, or they furrow with confusion. Mouths smile, they frown, they twist. Noses wrinkle. That Hebrew word, literally panu, means face. Friends sharpen each other's faces. It means that we smooth away the rough spots, not with sandpaper, but with wisdom. We wet the face of a friend, not with a stone, but with a timely word. And the end result of that will be better character, a sharper mind. We're meant to encourage one another. We're meant to cheer one another on. And yet sometimes we have to say hard things, and we risk a friendship for the greater good, and risk the friendship for a greater good. I'm gonna read to you a verse in Proverbs 27:6, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. You can trust a friend who wounds you with his honesty, but the enemy uses flattery, and that comes from insincerity. And again, I'm going to read you that very same verse out of the Amplified. Faithful are the wounds of a friend who corrects out of love and concern, but the kisses of an enemy, they are deceitful because they serve their own hidden agenda. Powerful, powerful that is. Okay, so this is not just any person that's going to sharpen you iron to iron. If it's not somebody that you trust, if it's not somebody that you are in a relationship with, okay, then all it does is the opposite of its intended purpose. It may be, it means that we're going to walk away feeling like such a failure or such a misfit that we're not doing something right. But if indeed it has come at the hand of someone that we know and love and trust, then we will take it and we will take it to God, and we will measure that, and we will hear what it is that they have to say. Liz Curtis Higgs is the author of the book that we're using right now with these verses. And she is very popular. She travels with Women of Faith. She's one of the speakers. And if you know Liz Curtis Higgs at all, or maybe you've seen pictures, she is a very voluptuous woman, meaning a fairly large woman. And she tells of this. She said that she had spoken at several Women of Faith conferences, and two of her friends, her sisters, you know, that would be sharing the platform, approached her backstage, and this is what they said in no uncertain terms. They said that I was to no longer make fun of my abundant body, They told me that I needed to own it and not trample it anymore, because she would make, because she would make light of it. She would make jokes of it. She would, you know, she would put herself down about it. She would do those things. Well, she said, whoa, what I thought was entertaining and even maybe empowering really came off as self-depreciating. That's how it came off. And little else, ouch. Still, these women knew me. They loved me and they wanted God's best for me. So however much that truth hurt, it was still the truth. And I took their wise counsel to heart. And I took it to heart. And you know, and she doesn't do that anymore. And so that's what we want to, that's what we want to do. It doesn't mean, in that verse that I read you just a few minutes ago in Proverbs 26:3, in a trusted friend, those wounds, yes, they may hurt, but it will be a momentarily or a not a long-term sort of a thing. And you can see in the end, if you will take it to God and you say, all right, Lord, the value, I need to take away what you want me to take away from that. And I need to discard the rest. Many years ago, someone had said, I handle all criticism like this. I handle it like eating a chicken, a whole chicken. Okay. Goodness sakes. I scrape off a great deal of the skin. Okay. I eat the good parts of that. And I certainly discard the bones. So what we need to do in this process is do that. We need to get before God and we need to say, wow, God, is there a truth in that that I need to hear? And ask him. And that way you will know that, you know, because then he will give you his gentle, yes, this is something I do want you to pay attention to, or, you know, that is the proper way to handle that. So now, that's if people are going to use words. That's if we're going to iron sharpening iron and we're going to use words. But you can do it another way. You can do it without ever using words. Again, back to the countenance, again, back to our facial expressions. Okay. We don't always have to say a word. Sometimes our silence, sometimes our attitude, sometimes those things, they say more than words ever could. If you find yourself, let's say you find yourself in the break room, and much gossip is going on, and you either excuse yourself from it, or however you do that, you don't take part in it. You don't say anything. It's not that you judge them for that. It's that you just simply don't take part in it. You didn't have to use any words, and yet you are sending a very effective message. And the message being, that's not something you're going to engage in. And should you have opportunity later to actually, well, you left rather abruptly, or how come, you know, did you have something to do? And then that's when you can go ahead and you can share a little bit about your life, your faith, your conviction. And as uncomfortable as it was, I was asked why I did leave a conversation at one point, kind of in the middle, and why I did that. And I said, because that is not something I feel that I did not want to participate in something like that. That person wasn't in the room. That person did not need our sharing their stuff or what we thought was their stuff. So anyway, two people took that well and took it to heart, the iron sharpening iron. And one person, that was it. That was it. Didn't want to have anything to do with me or my, well, for heaven's sakes, that was harmless. But was that harmless? No, that's not harmless. That's not ever harmless, you know? So anyway, sometimes this iron sharpening iron is with our words, and sometimes it is with our lack of words, and yet we are sending a message. We're sending a message in that. And it says, I want to read the verse in the New King James, and it says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. The countenance. Okay. So that friends sharpen one another. They develop one another. They're not stumbling blocks to one another. They're not obstacles. They actually help accelerate our destiny. That's what happens. Friends are not competitive. They help you grow. They help you develop. Friends are not a hindrance. They're not a hindrance. Okay. This iron sharpening friend is a gift from God. They are godly and they are wise counsel. They'll correct you in love if you need it. They will build you up. Iron sharpening friend will strengthen and sharpen you, will strengthen and sharpen you. Iron sharpening relationships are strategically placed in your life to help develop and strengthen and sharpen you. Where it tells us in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people will fall. People will fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In that sharpening, there is safety. In that sound and wise counsel, you will find safety. When you receive advice from wise counselors, mentors, pastors, brothers and sisters in Christ, then you will find safety. There is safety in sharpening. So choose to receive sharpening from those who are more seasoned, wiser, and stronger than you. Cast down your pride. Let God soften your heart. Let God lead your heart. Let God surround you with wise counselors. Let him lead you into wise counsel. Don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. That is a very real thing that we do some of the time if we don't like the direction that that someone is sharpening, then we just want to pull back. We just want to pull away. Lick our wounds, I think, is you know, the common thing. We just don't want to be doing that. We want to submit to God. God sent iron sharpening, wise mentors, and godly relationships. So we want to ask this question, okay? Who's sharpening us? Who's sharpening us? The Word of God is quick, it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. I referenced that earlier. That's Hebrews 4:12. It pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. For the Word of God, that is his counsel. That is his counsel. His counsel is quick, it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So surrender to his word and you will be led by his counsel, the most important counsel of all. The most important counsel of all. If you want to know God's will, seek his word. His word is sharper and more powerful than man's counsel. God-based counsel will pierce, it will divide. His word will sharpen and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He will go for it. He will go for it, but you have to be in it. You have to do it to receive his wise counsel, his iron sharpening iron counsel from the word. You have to be in it. You have to be in it. So again, okay, the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, and this is the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive. It is full of power. It makes it active and operative, energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, that is the deepest part of our nature. It exposes and it sifts and it analyzes and it judges the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. God's counsel penetrates to the very heart of man. His word exposes and analyzes your heart, and it judges the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So let his word guide you. Let it be the basis of your counsel. Let it be the basis of your counsel. You see, it will expose your innermost thoughts and desires. His word is not stagnant. It is alive and active and powerful. The message on Hebrews 4:12 says it like this. God means what he says. He means what he says. What he says goes. And his powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cuts through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. And nothing, no one is greater than God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. Nor should we try. I don't know if you've ever been here before, but sometimes God is doing a little sharpening, shall we say. And this actually happened to me numerous times. And I think that we all know the story of Jonah, and he ran from the thing that he didn't want to do. God had asked him to do a hard thing. He asked him to go to Nineveh and share a message, and he didn't want to do it, and he turned tail and ran. Well, we know that whole story, and we know how that all comes out. But I think that when God is sometimes pinpointing something in us, in his word, He's showing us in his word, and it's not something that we're ready to hear just yet. So we want to skip over and maybe not, and maybe not pay so much attention to that verse, or maybe just kind of slide it off to the side and don't give it much thought. Well, I don't know about you, but I can tell you time and time again, this has happened. If there's a particular thing that he is trying to get at with me, then pretty quick, I'm going to hear a worship song on the radio, and it's going to have the same message. It's going to have the same message. Or I'm going to end up in conversation with someone, and they're going to be speaking in not about my situation, but they're going to be talking and they're going to hit that situation yet again. And I tell you, that is where I go home when I've heard it in multiple multiple ways is when I go home and I get before God and I say, all right, forgive me. I didn't want to face this with you this morning. I did not. But I now know that you have said it in a multitude of ways today. And so here we are, God. Search my innermost thoughts. You know what they are. And God, see if in me there is any wicked way, because I don't want to do that. I want to address the flaw. I want to press in. I want to be sharpened. I want to grow in my faith. I want not to become stagnant. I mentioned that earlier. That's what happens. The blade becomes dull and not good for anything. And that's not how we want to be. That is certainly not how we want to be. Not at all. Okay. So who is sharpening you? Who has your back? Who's in your circle? Who's in your circle? Who's in your accountability circle? Who's on your team? Who's got your blind spot? Who's got your blind spot? We're going to talk about the blind spot a little bit. The Johari window is something that we learned about in InStay a long time ago. And there are four panes of this window. So there are four panes in this window. There's the open part of that window. The first pane in the window is referred to the open part. So that open part of that window represents the actions, the behaviors, and the information that are known to the individual, that would be you, and also known to those around them. So that information is public, and it is made available through communication, through exchanges between the individual and others. So that's facts and skills and attitudes, anything that is public knowledge. But it's known not only to you, but it's known to those that you are, that you associate with, or that you know. Okay? So that's the one quadrant. That's the one pane of that window. Now, the second window is called the blind spot. So this information in this area, okay, are the actions and the behaviors that they may be known to others that know you. It they're aware of it. This is very often a spouse. This is a close friend. This is someone who knows you well. Okay. And that blind spot is they're aware of it, but you're not. We're not aware. Okay. That blind spot isn't only negative, that we instantly go to the negative there. It isn't only negative. It has a positive side as well. Okay. The positive side of that is that there are hidden strengths. Okay. And that hidden strengths in you that you're just unaware of, but other people, they see you in action and they can see it. They know it. You're just not aware of it. Okay. And then there are those things that need improvement. Okay. Those things that you're oblivious to, and it may be, might be a habit. It might be any number of things, might be a bit of a character flaw that they can see, but you're not aware of. This is where the iron sharpening iron, this is the thing that takes place between someone that you trust and someone that you let into your space. This is where you can get some blind spots addressed, because you don't actually know that you're doing it. Many years ago, this would be Pastor Jim and myself, and we had gotten into a bit of a discussion, a little bit of a heated discussion, I think would be more accurate. But at any rate, he said, don't just go sulk and nurse your wounds, like you do. And I said, I haven't said anything. I didn't say anything to you. I felt like that was so unjust, for him to just jump right in and assume that, and assume that that was what I was going to do. And I said, I never said a word to you. And he said, oh, honey, your face said it all. He said, you have a look that I tell you would melt ice cubes. He said, you didn't have to use your mouth. He said, you have a look that will do it. And that, I would have to say, was a blind spot. I didn't know that. My inner dialogue was saying, there were plenty of things that I wanted to say, but I held my tongue and I thought that I was doing really good. So as I was patting myself on the back for doing really good, what he really did there was expose a blind spot. I wasn't doing good. My facial expression wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. And so there are many times that there are things that we're not aware of. It certainly wasn't going to be the first time, and it certainly wasn't the last time that I had to start to pay attention. So my feelings were not only hurt by my husband now, okay, but then I take it to God and I say, God, is that right? Is this an area that I don't see? And I get a resounding yes. That is not so. I have to take it from my man, and then I have to take it from the Lord as well. But that was enough to make me start correcting the behavior, and so that I could be a finely sharpened instrument, so that I could. I just found another outlet. I didn't have to use my mouth to do it, but I found another outlet. Some of us, it's the rolling of eyes. Some of us, it's the whatever. I mean, we just might have any number of ways, but make no mistake about it, we are communicating dissatisfaction. We are not happy. So therefore, there's other things. So we have to, one, people have to be close enough to us, and then they got to be brave enough to step forward and iron sharpen iron and bring it to the table. They don't do that for our demise. He wasn't doing that to get even with me. He wasn't doing that to win the argument. He wasn't doing any of that. He was doing that because that was something I needed to look at in me. I didn't change the way that I still had the wrong behavior. I just found a different outlet for it. Not healthy either. I was thinking, and we're gonna end on this, that Again, the verse is iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Our faces are so telling. They are so very telling. And in this day and age where, you know, a good share of us are wearing masks and so much is hidden, it lets us hide behind the mask. So much is hidden behind that. Actually, not a healthy thing for us. Not a healthy thing for us at all, because we need to have the visual contact. We need to have that face to face, so that our countenance and the fragrance of our home can be right and can be pure, and it can be all of those things. So we definitely want to be giving this verse. We want to be paying some attention to this verse. You may be that iron sharpening person for someone, and then you have to graciously hear the iron sharpening when it comes toward you. Particularly hard to take when the spouse has something to say to one another. I think that's really hard. But it doesn't mean that we discount it, or it doesn't mean that we judge it, or we try not to, you know, oh, they were just trying to get the focus off of them and what they did wrong in the situation by pinpointing something that I did. Instead of justifying, we get to God and we say, okay, what was the truth in there I needed to hear? Let me skip the way it was presented. Let me skip all of that and let me hear the thing that I needed to hear. And again, I think it bears mentioning before we get completely out of here, it bears mentioning that we're to do this softly. We're to do this purposefully. We're not to go against the grain, and we are to be that person that does it with the right heart, the intent of the heart. Father, thank you, Lord, for the sword-bearing people in our lives. Help us to open up your word, and Lord, help us to hear what it is that you're saying to us. Help us to hear that. Help us to be brave and loving, and help us to speak your truth in love. Speak your truth in love, and then live it out. And then live it out in word and in deed. Thank you, Father, that each of us, Lord, can hear what it is that you are saying to us. First and foremost, we want to be sharpened by you. And then, Lord, you have surrounded us by people that are doing some of that as well. And Lord, let us hear what it is all the way around. Let us hear, knowing, let us hear the intent, not so much maybe the way it comes out. Let us hear the intent. The intent is for our good. The intent is for our good. So precious Father, be with us in this next couple of weeks. I pray that you would open our eyes. I pray that we would see this in many ways. Father, I pray that with a trusted friend or wise counselor or a mentor, I pray that we would even be able to say, please, if there be anything that you see that you think needs attention, then Lord, let them do it. Give them an invitation to do that. most importantly, search our hearts, God, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting, closer to your heart, closer to your heart every day that we're here, every breath that we breathe, every task we undertake. May we do it in your love, in your power, in your grace, in your precious, precious name. Amen.